So, good evening, everybody. This is going to be our final shiur of the Zman, I guess. We'll have a couple of weeks off after this. And we figured we'd talk about the concept of halacha ve'en morin kein. Okay, halacha ve'en morin kein can best be described by the following story that I probably shared with you the first time we came across it, but probably not everybody here was there, which is that I was once driving with a distinguished Talmud Chacham, and they ran a bit of a stale, you know, yellow or orange light, whichever you prefer to call it. And they turned to me and they said, running a yellow light is halacha ve'en morin kein. Okay, it says, you can do it, but if you tell everybody to do it, it's going to be problematic. Okay, that's halacha ve'en morin kein for what we've got. So, at the end of the day, despite what some people may think, Shas uses this concept in terms of using these words to describe the phenomenon of halacha ve'en morin kein, namely, that we do pask in a certain way, but we won't pronounce this publicly, we won't tell people if they ask us what the halacha is, that this is the halacha. We see that six times in Shas. To be honest, it really doesn't matter whether or not we go through them. I provided them to you with English translations, but, you know, knowing how long we have for this year and how long it usually takes us to get through some of our sources, I don't think there's any need to go through all of the different cases. However, I will note also, this somehow got printed, and I should say really stapled on the wrong side. I don't know if the shul stapler can handle that. I should have probably specified to them that it's a Hebrew to English source sheet, but it doesn't matter. Also, you have the case in front of you, all six cases. Menachos, Shabbos, Erevin, Avodah Zarah, Beitzah, and Bava Kama. And all of those talk about this idea of halacha ve'en morin kein. The only one that you should know is our case in Beitzah. If you have a Gemara, you can look it in your Gemara. If you have a source, you can look it in source number Aleph, Besug Yaseinu, the first one, Amar of Nechama, Reader of Yosef. And there are different versions, by the way, you know, in the different Rishonim, as to which Amoraim are part of this story. But nevertheless, we have someone, you know, Havakamakame de Rav in front of Rava, Vahavakam Ma'aver Lesakina Apuma Didikula. And he was, you know, again, moving, he was running the knife over the rim of this tree. Okay, he says a basket here in the translation. Okay, I mean, we do sometimes, they used to weave baskets out of palm leaves. And that's probably why it says that, right? Like we do with Kaishaklach for the Lulavim. Right, those are fine for weaving. So, anyway, says the Gemara, V'amri la l'chadad ha-kavadmar, and I asked him, why are you doing that? Is that to sharpen your knife, l'havir shamnunisa, or is it to clean it off? V'amri li, and he told me, l'havir shamnunisa. It is to clean off my knife. And he says, but I could tell that he was doing it to sharpen it. I saw a question somewhere, but I didn't bring it down. Someone said, how does he know he was right? Maybe he was wrong. Maybe, in fact, this other Amora wasn't lying to him. Maybe Rava was telling the truth. An interesting question. I'm gonna go for the simple pshat in the Gemara, which is to say, you could tell. Okay, because of halacha ve'en morin kein, it must have been that he held that it is the halacha that we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that this would be 100% completely permitted. However, ve'en morin kein, we don't rule this way. From Abaye, havakimna kame demar. Okay, Abaye said he was also standing in front of, well, let's say Rava again, according to, or Rabba. Okay, havakamaver sakina asfasa derechaya, and again, his was on the edge of the millstone. V'amr l'alchadada, and he asked him, is it to sharpen or to clean it off? V'amr l'alavri shamanisa v'chazet zelatel l'alchadada kavid, ukasav halacha v'en morin kein held. It's the halacha, but we don't rule like this. And then you have a number of other cases, some of them very close, some of them very far. Again, you're welcome to look at them in your spare time. What I will say is the following.
Is there a similarity between the Gemara?
So that's exactly what I was about to address.
Oh, sorry.
They seem to be a couple of different sort of formats of halacha ve'en morin kein. First of all, a number of times it's related to the Amora Rav. You see Rav doing it. The question as to whether or not this appears in Tanaitic literature, I didn't see it. And there's one Gemara which explains a machlokas Tanaim that way. It's the Gemara here. Where were we? I have to check which one it was. In this Gemara in Bava Kama, which is exceedingly complicated, they use that to explain a machlokas tanaim. But generally, we don't see, you know, we definitely don't see it explicitly in any Mishnayos or anything like that. And we do see it again in the early Amoraim, like Rav, Rav Huna Amarav, Rav Yochanan. That sort of generation over there uses this terminology. Now, what I wanted to say is there a pattern that emerges?
And in one Yerushalmi, that's it.
I didn't even look in the Yerushalmi.
It's on the Yerushalmi.
But I'm bringing that to say something else about this. Now, we're assuming, or you may be assuming, like I originally did, that maybe there was something special about this rule. There's a rule, halacha ve'en morin kein, it has certain rules. If you look in places like Encyclopedia Talmudit, which I did briefly take a look at, you look in places like the the Sfarim that deal with klalim, okay, something like a Yad Malachi, which has, you know, lists of rules and phrases that we see in the Gemara and explained, you know, the parameters of each one, you might think that that's the case with Halacha Vein Morinkin. However, it's much more likely that there's actually nothing special about Halacha Vein Morinkin. We actually have similar ideas in many, many other places around Shas. And that's why I brought you the Aleih Tamar. The Aleih Tamar is talking about a bizarre case of sitting in the Sukkah, which is irrelevant to us, but he tells us the following, and you can skip to the end of the first line.
Sorry, where is that?
So we're gonna go now to source number Bays. Okay, we're gonna jump through all the English because we said we're not gonna read case by case. We're simply going to talk on the third page, really already, which is source number 2, and the Aleih Tamar is Rabbi Sachar Tamar, who's lives around our day and age. Don't know if he was Nifter. This is awkward. It's never comfortable when you're not sure if someone's still alive. But he may have passed away recently. I think
his lips are moving, whether he's alive or not.
Exactly. So, spasav dovavos, exactly. Either way. So, if you look at the end of the first line of Kamosh, he quotes a Yerushalmi, which talks about halahoros aser lahoros. You shouldn't paskin this way. And he says, Ukamosh eshiv raz b'pshitus l'shelo shel Rabbi Bon, which is over here, v'kazeh, and we see similar things, be'erev in Zion, right? Right, to become a duchti, halacha bein morinkin. He says, first of all, we see the concept of halacha bein morinkin very similar to ein lahoros, right? Uvi Yerushalmi Sanhedrin dalet halacha vav, kan lahalacha, kan lamasa, which appears in a number of places. There are many, many phrases. Tainis chavav, oruye lo morinan, viavid avid velo mahadrile. So he brings all sorts of different lashonos, which we can't possibly go through all of them, but which generally mean the same thing, which is to say, at the end of the day, we're not going to paskin this way for people, but that is the halacha, just know. So, number one, this is not unique to just the cases of halacha bein morinkin. This ostensibly is a much wider net of cases in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi and all sorts of literature where we see such sentiments being expressed that it may not be appropriate to paskin this way for people.
Okay, in all cases, are we being machmir? In other words, when we're saying ein morinkin, is it always lemachmir?
Meaning you won't paskin akula?
It means that
obviously
that the actual halacha was you could sharpen it, but we say a morin cane so people.
So yes, obviously you wouldn't tell someone you can't be, you know. the halacha is that you should be machmir, but a morin. Actually, we do kind of see that in a number of cases. Actually, where did I see it? I was dealing with a case. There are other cases where it just says ein morin kein. What was it? Did it something to do with Hilchos Avelos, I think. I don't remember where it came up. I saw it in Shulchan Aruch, and I was noting it because Shulchan Aruch talked about it. Ah, yes. I think it was tearing kriya for a Rebbe who was not Rabbo Muvhak, if I remember correctly. There are cases in which we say ein morin kein, meaning you don't have to tell people to be machmir. That's the way ein morin kein would apply there, but we don't see those type of cases in the Gemara so much.
It's much more halacha. Whether you tear kriya for a Rebbe or not is necessarily the same.
Right. The question, yeah. You know, in that Shulchan Aruch was, and I think
there's
it
no,
was that.
There's no avera component to it, right?
Right. Yeah. But it said basically you don't have to tell people to do this, right. You know, even though technically someone who teaches, like technically I'm your Rebbe, but no, you would not tear kriya over me for many, many reasons.
Chas v'shalom.
Chas v'shalom, yes. Al-tutaf pelasatem. So you can, for example. Anyway, so the... Yes. Anyways, the point is to say that this can really encompass a lot of cases. We're going to try to look at it in our case and to see what does halacha v'in morin kein mean here, what are the parameters of how it applies here, and then we might be able to draw some conclusions about the general rules, but obviously nothing, you know, too generic. So first of all, you have a long, long shtickle from Rabbi Yashiv Kam to explain why is it that halacha v'ein morin kein, three approaches that we see in the poskin. Okay? So, in source number Gimel, halacha v'ein morin kein, b'gemara le'el chafetam anofi b'ayla hu'ishar l'chabos es anem rifnei davar acher. Okay, can you turn off the light because of something else? Okay, v'chein l'chabos es adleika, can you put out the fire, mishum ibud mamon? U'pashtinon le'isur, and we say that it's asur, makshinon mi'braisa, and we ask from Braisa, d'shar l'chabos es abakas b'yom tov, that you're allowed to, again, do some sort of extinguishing on Yantav Kamar Hashas. Amaleha hi, Rabbi Yehuda hi, ki amina anal Rabbanan. If you look in the Gemara there, it says, that's according to Rabbi Yehuda that we say it's permitted to extinguish this bakas. However, says the Gemara there, I'm talking about according to the Rabbanan. Which, as he points out from this, and this relates a little bit to what we had last week, Mashma Dalacha Rabbanan. It sounds from that Gemara, and the Taz will address this later as well, this Gemara that we have in Chafez, and you can look it up in your Gemara if you wish as well. Sounds like the halacha is like Rabban. Uvetosfis sham hikshu. da bisugyan mivur da halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Tosfos there on Daf Chaf Beis ask, and they say, 1 second. Isn't the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda, as we see from our Gemara, where we say explicitly like that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? V'tirtzu ha-tosfos, and Tosfos answered, the emes halacha Rabbi Yehuda v'rak mishum dein morin kein pasak lo k'rabanan. And Tosfos explained, because that story in the Gemara was he was following this rule of halacha v'ein morin kein. Someone came to ask him, can you do this? And he says, well, we follow Rabbanan. Why? Because ein morin kein that we follow Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, it's interesting. By the way, this will be a case, and this is something to keep in mind for the end of this year when we're going to talk about Sfarim, you know, and general Psak, what qualifies as Morin Kain. For example, if I write an English Halacha Sefer and I say that it's mutter to do this like Rabbi Yehuda, but ain't Morin Kain, did I do an Avera? Was I Mora by doing that? And sort of what are the parameters of this? Tosis is explaining that this case in the Gemara is Halacha Vein Morin Kain. The Gemara said it was Aser because of the rule of Halacha Vein Morin Kain. So we see there are some cases, we'll see other cases as well, similar to this. Keep that in your back pocket. But that's not what we're going on here. Okay? We do in fact follow Rabbi Yehuda. Only that when in public, we rule to follow the Rabbanan. And in all places we see this, that we should not paskin the halacha zark Rabbi Yehuda by Ochal Nefesh, even though we do by Machshir Ochal Nefesh. Even though we paskin like him, we don't tell people. Okay? Now, for Ramban Kaspo b'yeser biur, and the Ramban wrote clearly, more clearly, demai demachmirin behanach ibayos, that we are machmir in all these cases, she'afal pishnifska halacha k'rabi Yehuda, lo samchu aleha legamre ela be'osan hadvarim shem ikur machshire guf ha'ochel. And this will explain what we had last week, and we talked about there were all sorts of different cases, didn't go into them. It says the Ramban, part of the rule is because we're not so certain that we're really following Rabbi Yehuda entirely. We're only somach on him on things that are really, you know, machshirim, that are directly related to making the food. And we'll talk about some practical contemporary applications of this rule as well. Gon grefas atanor hitiru legamrei b'makam shlo afshir shlo yachroch, aval dvarim she'inam ikar ochal nefesh. Ela shehem tzrichin kigon kiboy habakash leisashin habayis b'makom shetarach leachol sham. Right, what they would do is they had something that was lit, and if you didn't extinguish it, it would fill up the whole house with smoke, and then people wouldn't be able to eat. So it's kind of machshir yochal nefesh, because if the whole house was filled up with smoke, you wouldn't be able to eat properly. Right? Clearly, they've never been to hookah bars or whatever. But at the end of the day,
the Ramban is talking
about that case that we saw on Chaf Beis, right, to say that that case, we're less likely to rely on Rabbi Yehuda, whereas in our case, we are willing to rely on Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because it's much more legufa ochel, sharpening a knife. Knife is used to prepare food. No question about it. Right? Right? Lechol sham, asur, bein lahoros, bein lasos, bein masa, biyichud. Vihu siyag, and he says, what's the reason? This is the main point here. Shelo yatiru af be'ein bahen sorech ochel nefesh. So one concern in our case is we're worried. It's a slippery slope, says the Ramban. If in these cases we're going to let you extinguish the flame so your house doesn't fill up with smoke and you can't eat properly, people are going to end up doing this stuff even lo tzorech ochal nefesh. And that's something that is going to be aser even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, halacha ve'en morin kein, as we see, and this is going to be the simple approach to all halacha ve'en morin kein, we are worried, or Chazal are worried, that this will lead to some sort of laxness within that area. So in this case, the laxness that the Ramban is worried about is to say that people might do it when there's no real machshirei ochal nefesh concern. People might say, oh, I can blow out the candle because I like to. That's a problem. Okay? So, reason number one, we're worried people will do it where there's no machshirei ochal nefesh and they will still be makil. That's why we say halacha bein morin kein. Again, the strict halacha, we do paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. However, because we're worried people will take it too far, we don't. It's like a gzera, but on a lower level. Because we're not willing to aser it, we just say halacha vein morin kein. That's one way of looking at it. And let's continue. There are other approaches as well, though. V'arambam pasak b'chol hanachi bayos da'ashas l'chomra. V'lo pasak halacha k'rabi Yehuda v'rak de'ein morin kein. V'hemshech t'vei Rambam kasav in mashkizan esasak and mashkizan shalah. We've read all this before, that basically the Rambam paskins everything. L'chomra doesn't write that the halachas are k'rabi Yehuda in any particular place. He just says, in mashkizan esasak and b'mashkizan shalah. You should not sharpen the knife in its sharpener. Aval mechadada al gabe ha'etz al gabe charesh al gabe even. Or even ve'ein morim davar zel rabim. You can't tell this to the public. Kedei shelo yavo lechadada b'mashchezes. What's the Rambam's reason? He says it's a local case. We're worried that people will do a full malacha, which you know, Rabbanan would not allow or Rabbi Huda would not allow, depending on how you learned the sugya last week. Not that we're worried about a case where there won't be ochel nefesh. It's not a more general gzera. He says in each of these cases, we're worried about a local gzera where you might come to do something that would be prohibited even within this case. Okay, that's the Rambam's approach. Finally, he says, v'chein arif, kasev magid mishnah, time of the Rambam, we shouldn't really, they hold against Rabbi Yehuda. He goes through a lot of stuff that we went last week. Let's jump down to about six lines up, v'hagra, the first word on the line is paskinan, the fourth word is v'hagra. Okay, all there. The truth is, in all machshir ochal nefesh, we follow Rabbi Yehuda. V'dafka gabe sakin to Rabbi Yehuda aster lahashkiza mashkiza shel even v'atam bazeh de'af be'ochal nefesh lo yitiru rak b'mashe osta l'tzorach yantav greda v'lo b'mashe mechin l'zman meruba. He says we're worried about zman meruba and what you're doing for yamim rabim, and what we also saw in the Rishonim elsewhere is because we're worried you might come to do it even when it was available to you before yantav. So in summary, there are three, four, five different reasons to this local case that we're discussing to say, why do we say halacha v'ein morin kain? It might be because we're worried people will take it too far in this extreme. It might be because we're worried people will take it too far in this respect. It might be because we're worried they're going to do it when it's not allowed by Rabbi Yehuda or by the Rabbanan, depending on how you learn. But the point is that halacha v'ein morin kain is really like a modern gzeira. We are worried people will take it out of context, and therefore, these things are things that cannot be told to the public. Rather, if we know the actual halacha, it's like a special kula almost in the case, where if you know the halacha, you can do it quietly behind everybody's back. So that's the way halacha v'ein morin kain seems right now. And there again, really are two ways of looking at it. There's a way of looking at it as a chumrah, and there's a way of looking at it as a kula, and this is something I would present in general for the entire shir in terms of understanding halacha v'ein morin kain. You can look at halacha v'ein morin kain as saying we should assume that everything is mutter. Because really the halacha is that it is mutter. Ein morin kain is a gzera, but a gzera that is limited to the hamon am, and not to the people that know about it. And if you're not going to cause any sort of maris ayin issues, where people will learn from the person's actions, that's, or from their words, if they tell them that it's mutter, and they'll accidentally do something wrong, in that case, we're willing to say halacha v'ein morin kain. But really, we should say everything is mutter. We're restricting the general population. The flip side way to look at it, though, were to be to say the opposite. When I was in yeshiva, this is a great story. I'm glad this is going up online. When I was in yeshiva, I was in second year. By Shurkin, my Rebbe, who was an amazing, fantastic Rebbe, he should, be Maruch Yamim Vishanim and have nothing but bracha. Tremendous, tremendous respect for him. But his, you know, idea of where everybody should end up might be a little bit different than my idea of where I wanted to end up. In particular, he decided that it was good for me to go to Lakewood. He says, you're going to stay in yeshiva, what do you have to go to college for? And he gave me a couple of shmooze. And one of them, he basically said, come on, you can go, you can be one of the best guys in Lakewood and this and that. I mean, he says that to everybody. There's nothing special about me, I can guarantee you. It's a very good tactic at keeping people, though, let me tell you. I'm sure, you know, people like to hear they want to be the best guy in Lakewood. But anyways, one of the things he told me is, even at that point, I was already, you know, somewhat of a researcher. He said, I want you to go make a list of all of the things that the Gemara and Poskim say Talmidei Chachamim are allowed to do. Right? There are a few cases in the Gemara and elsewhere, Talmid Chacham is mutter to do X, Y, and Z. We could look at Halacha Vein Morin Kain in a similar vein to say that really it should be Aser for everybody. But for Talmidei Chachamim who are not going to fall into traps, and for Talmidei Chachamim who realize that there's, you know, you're able to distinguish between exactly what's mutter and exactly what's aser, we're going to give them a broader area in which they can be makel. And therefore, if they're aware that the halacha actually follows, like Rabbi Yehuda, let them act that way, but they have to be careful that they don't let other people do this. So you really could look at it from either extreme. It's two sides of the same coin, though. There's nothing, you know, inherently different between the two approaches. One is simply saying, should we look at this as status quo being halacha follows this, and therefore we're just being machmir on outsiders, or should we say, no, really the halacha would be that this should be a gzera, but there's special dispensation for those who are aware of the true halacha, meaning the Talmidei Chachamim.
What if the people didn't accept the gzera? Let's say sharpen the knife. Their knife is dull, and they want to rub it on the tree or something.
And it's sharpen. You want to sharpen?
What do you mean if they didn't accept the gzera? It's not a formal gzera. It's simply a control put in as an informal gzera to make sure that people don't accidentally sin.
Right. So if people ended up sharpening,
if people ended up sharpening, they don't get enough gzera. Right. Chalila. And that would be an additional... Ah, I see what you're saying. That would be an additional difference between this and a regular gzeira, obviously.
Right. Okay, but it doesn't...
Change. It won't change this action, no.
It won't change the Ainmo ring.
Right. Correct. Okay. Okay, so that's sort of part number one. Now I figured we take a look as to how far this Ainmo ring came and how far and where the idea of not ruling in this fashion applies. So first thing we're going to read is the Ramah, which is really Al-Pi Rashi in our sugi. If you have a Gemara here, you can take a look at Rashi on what Rashi says in Morin Kain. That actually may surprise you a little bit. Although Rashi in Baba Kama has a bit of a different approach. Says the Ramah, in talking about repairing your spit that was broken. Fidavka Shiachal Litzlos, but we're in source number Dalid now. It's only when you're able to actually, you know, again, roast, you know, using it below tikkun, avalim eno yachal litzlos bokach, v'nish bar b'yom tov mutra l'sakno. If it actually is completely broken, then you're allowed to. V'ein morin kein larabim. But you cannot pask in this way too. What's that last word?
Larabim.
Larabim. What does that mean? If I ask you, what does ein morin kein larabim mean?
I won't go out in front of the shul and tell everybody.
Exactly. The Rav shouldn't get up at his drasha and shouldn't clap on the beam and say, everybody, you should know it's mutter to fix machshirei ochal nefesh on yontif. Now, let's say we're talking about Rav Karopkin should not get up and do this at the drasha. Let's say I go to Rabbi Karopkin and I say, Rabbi Karopkin, I don't know the halacha. What's the halacha if, you know, my spit got broken on yontif? Can I fix it? What should he tell me then? According to this Ramah, the simple reading of this Ramah?
Yes.
He should pat me on the back, he should say, Ezer, of course, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, go and fix your spit. Right? Go and... Okay. Interesting.
No, I wouldn't read it that way.
Okay.
When it says L'Rabim, I would not mean giving a speech, but okay. The general public.
Okay, you could read it that way as well. Interesting. And he says, what's the reason why we're not more L'Rabim? Shelo yavo l'sakin gamkin v'nish bar b'yar of Yom Tov. That concern that, again, we're worried they're going to fix it when they've left it around in the shop for 3 weeks, and they'll say, oh, it's Yontif, now I can fix it. This will apply to any machshirin, which you were not able to do from Erev Yontif. It's halacha v'ein morin. Can you look at the Aruch HaShulchan? And he says, on this drama, what I think the simple read is, against you, b'mchilas k'porcha, but there are many sources that support you, and in fact, I would say mainstream halacha supports your read, says the Aruch HaShulchan, v'nira mi divrehem, it seems from their words, the Rama paskening based on Rashi and Arveni Yerochem, d'l'rabim ein morin aval le'yachid yachal hamor el'horos. But if an individual comes about it, the posse can come and tell him that this is the halacha, dimlokin havale lomar v'ein l'horos kin l'achirim. Right? He says, looking at the words of the Ramah, I'm sorry, says the Aruch HaShulchan. It seems to be that this is something which applies only to a public sort of speech. Meaning, he would say that the difference between halacha v'ein morin kein and other cases is simply how mefursam you want it to be. A degree of how much you're going to let this be known. Meaning, when it comes to, you know, regular cases, we're worried that each individual might, you know, make a mistake and accidentally do something aser, so we won't even tell individuals. Here, halacha bin morikin is something different. Halacha bin morikin is where we're kind of concerned, so we say, don't clap on the bima and announce it, but you can tell people. That's the way the Aruch HaShulchan is understanding this Ramah, and the truth is, it's not such a crazy read of the Ramah, as he himself defends. V'afal pi shalashin ha-gemarahu v'ein morin kein mashmalahu d'rak l'rabim ein morin. And he says, and even though the Lashon HaGemara is ein morin kein, doesn't say anything about rabim, he says it must be that they understood this meant L'rabim, ein morin. Aval Rabbeinu ha-Beis Yosef. He says, however, you look in the Beis Yosef, Kasev Esifra Agadol in the Beis Yosef itself, Sim Tafkaf Yadalid, Telav Dafka L'rabim du Adin L'yachid, ein morin. He quotes this Rabbeinu Yerochem, which the Ramah was based on, and says, L'rabim there just cannot mean L'rabim, it has to mean even to individuals. He's just saying in general to people, like you wanted to read. This, by the way, I would say is the standard approach.
Right. I mean, what he said doesn't make sense based on the Gemara. Because the Gemara is an individual saw him doing it.
We're going to get to that. So we're going to get to that in a moment. So what the possibility is that it wasn't just one individual seeing him there. The Aruch HaShulchan will have to explain this case, and there's another case as well. Okay, if you look up, at the Gemara in Menachos at the top of this page, which is in source number 11, just look up to the top of the page for a minute, right? A similar case. Right, it's six words in to the Gemara. Ravina said, I was sitting in front of Rashi, v'chashach got dark, b'nech tefillin, he put on his tefillin. V'amrile, and I asked him, l'shamran kabayi lehumar? Are you doing this to guard them? V'amrile, in. And he said, yes, v'chazetzilatei, l'shamran hubayi. Kasav ralachavin morkin. Really, an identical case to what we saw in our sugya, in this case, to say that again, it was Ravina that saw his Rebbe Rav Ashi, but on the other hand, it could have been that there were many other people there, right? We don't know if he was the only one who saw this. So the Aruch HaShulchan and his camp of people that would read Rabim as Rabim would have to assume that this was a case that was more well known to people. Okay? Now, you read the El Yorabah, which I think, again, is the Pashtus of the Gemara, says, from the Rajba, La Rabim in source number Vav, Ve'afilu L'Talmidim Aser. Let's say you have your understudy, your Talmid comes to ask you, what's the Halacha? What do you tell him? Aser. How do you know that? It's the Gemara. Simply, you read the Gemara, we're talking about Amoraim. One Amora comes to another and says, why are you doing this? And they figured out Halacha Ve'in Morin came from there. So that means that they literally responded, I am doing this to clean off my knife. Didn't respond, don't tell anybody else, but it's okay. Says, no, if you could say lied, to protect this halacha. So the simple way to read the Gemara is that this is absolutely correct. And again, kol dvar halacha v'en morin kein, and any time we have halacha v'en morin kein, iyachal lishtamuti kigon hacha she'omer lahavir shamnun es osu b'fnei rabim. However, you're allowed to do it publicly, says the Magen Avraham, and who the Elie Rabba is quoting, if you have some way of getting out of it. I mean, if you can explain to people that are all watching, saying, I'm doing this to clean off my knife, which everybody knows is mutter, then you're allowed, even barabim, to do this action, which could technically be misconstrued, or construed properly, I should say, that what you're actually doing is sharpening it. Nevertheless, these are the guidelines which he gives, and again, I think that's a more simple read of the Gemara. Now, here comes a very interesting question. What we've spoken about is we've talked about paskening and performing the action in front of others who may or may not know what the person's doing. What about at home? Let's say Rabbi Karapkin's at home. Okay, hopefully he doesn't hear from this house. We're right next to him. Hears everything. Okay, well then we're in trouble. Let's say Rabbi Karapkin's home. And he decides he wants to sharpen his knife on Yontif. Because he knows that the halacha is that we really are paskening like Rabbi Yehuda. And let's say his wife's in the room. Does she count as someone else who he'll have to sort of hide it from or not? Says the Piskei Tshuvos, Uv Mishneh Berurah v'Adin L'Talmidah v'Ein Lahoros, Mishneh Berurah paskens following this El Yorabah that you can't even do it to your Talmidim, V'chein le'ishta uv'nevos v'eso ein lahoros. If your wife asks you, what's the halacha? Rabbitson Karopkin asks Rabbi Karopkin, can I sharpen the knife? What does he have to say? No, you can't sharpen the knife. Leaves the room.
Then yeah, I can sharpen it.
Yeah. Listen, Hara 12, Sefer Hilchos Amodim, Paragimel, Hara 62, Techeinir, Me'aramban, B'mochamos, on Beisa Chafez, B'ayin Sham de Lefizeh. He says, based on this, Afshar de Asr l'Adam Lassos, Machshir Ochal Nefesh Bifnehem, to have the Kehora, Elam Ken Yachal Ishtami, Tosa Behatr, Kedal Halan. He says, what's going to turn out is, if someone's family members are in the room and they see them doing it and they know what he's doing, it's going to be Asr to do. Even though it's just their family members, right? It's the Halacha Bein Morkin is so strict. We're even going to apply it, that it's almost irrelevant. You'd really have to be doing it in front of nobody behind closed doors. Okay? So that's just an interesting point that I think comes up, that even when it's someone who would ostensibly be following the same psak, right? We still cannot be mora in this fashion. So far
we have Rabim, right?
Yes.
You can do Rabim. You can't do it in front of somebody else, right?
Anybody else, no matter who they are.
Your wife and your son. Your wife and your children. And
that's an opinion. Doesn't mean all the opinions get added together.
No, I'm just trying to
right.
work it out. And then there's different opinions about what Amorin came, right?
Right.
Right.
I'm going to add one more thing here before we get to that,
okay.
Which is if you look in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, this is in many other sources as well. Let's say Rabbi Spitz comes to Rabbi Karapkin to ask him psak. And Rabbi Spitz really knows what the halacha is. He's simply asking him, what should I be doing? So, it says, Aval kol adam motzer lasos kein me'asmo, uvelvat shel yaseh kein b'fnei adam acher, she'eino yodea heter zeh. He says, it's only, where does the rule of halacha v'ein morin kein apply only to Ame Haaretz that don't know this? Now, you don't have to be an Am Haaretz, but anybody that went to this shir now, if they come to Rabbi Karapkin, says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, how should Rabbi Karapkin paskin? He should tell them, you were in the Beitza shir. It's mutter. Right? And therefore, that won't be an issue, right? Again, you can do it in front of those people. So,
that's what I was thinking. It's one thing if it's someone who basically doesn't know the halacha, but if it's before another Talmud Chacham or somebody who's familiar with the halacha,
Then there's no problem. Halacha bein moran kein.
Shouldn't be a problem. Yeah.
Right? Now, this is obviously going to beg the question.
But with the Tamidim,
yeah, the Amoraim, that
the Amoraim, they're all you know,
right, who literally understood from this Maisa Halacha Ve'in Morin Kain.
Right.
Number one, and again, we can answer that there was a different situation there, or this was their way of teaching them Halacha Ve'in Morin Kain. We often forget, and it would be interesting to, you know, do some more research on this. But the educational theory that we see from the Gemara in certain cases, you know, the concept of Shimush Tamidei Chachamim, I saw someone bring up, right, that you know. There are ways that people learn things from people's actions and from people's words without being told explicitly, this is what you should be doing. And perhaps that our Gemara, correct, that's the type of Shimush Tamidei Chachamim in which you learn these things.
It's a very intimate.
Right? It's a, correct. It's a very, it's a certain relationship. And if that's the case, that may very well not be a stira to this halacha.
How somebody becomes a more...
Amora Hara, correct.
Some
correct.
People say it's, you have to have Shimush, and some people don't.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's quite clear that Shimush is where you actually learn stuff. I can say that in terms of Psak, not that I know, but because I've heard.
I know there's some people who pass, who are Posek, who never really had Shimush.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, it's Aser Tepaskin in that circumstance.
Okay, well... You know,
everyone let me before I did the Shiur Shimush release, even after that.
Interesting.
He used to spy on me.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of things you learn from being Mishamish Tamei Chachamim. I've had the opportunity to be Mishamish Tamei Chachamim, but never actually learned the halachos. So I'm on the flip side of that, but, you know, I really, you know, followed around a Rosh Hashanah day and night within anything when I was in yeshiva. Not to the same extent maybe that he did with Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Moshe, obviously. I wasn't in his chair for 25 years. But, you know, I really, you know, tried to learn these types of things from him, and I actually did pick up certain things. And still, too, whenever I'm able to, you know, shadow or learn from the rabbis here, or even Rabbi Torchiner, you certainly learn many, many things about, you know, not only the job, but about Pesach, even though, again, I've never learned Yeridea properly, I've never learned Hillel Shabbos properly, I've never, you know, mastered a section of halacha, which I can say that I know well enough to paskin, but I'm just lacking the shimush. But some of the shimush experience I've had. I haven't had practical shimush, you know, like looking at maros, you know, things like that. But in terms of being around these people and seeing how they paskin and what, you know, factors and considerations and meta halacha, you know, you can see that this is something very valuable. And this would be an example of that. And therefore, you wouldn't have to worry about this stira, right, that we had, you know, between the Gemara's case of what about the Talmidim and this Shulchan Aruch Harav, which again seems to be pretty well understood, that if the person actually knows the halacha, you have nothing to gain by paskening the wrong way for them.
Let's take our case as an example. When it says Ein Morin Kain, what are we talking about? In the sense that with the knife, there could be 3 to 4 different possibilities. It could be the issue of it was already dull before Yontov, and it could be an issue of that. It could be an issue of Ute Dechol. Could be an issue that you're doing something that's
Let's knock out of Din Dechol because that would affect
that's
any
rushing.
Case.
Okay.
Right.
That's okay. But it could be an issue of you're forming a complete kli, where it's not just a pagam, it's you're doing it complete. Like, there's so many different issues with this knife. When we're saying Ein Morin Kain, what are we specifically saying? Which of those Isurim or all of them, or
that was source number Gimel. That was source number Gimel to say this one says it's because of this. This one says it's because of this, and we could say very honestly because there's a whole boatload of issues that can come along with this, and they may be more practical issues. They may be more halachic issues. I saw a very strange thing online, which I'm not going to talk about, but not going to talk about it at length. I should say I'm obviously going to mention it, otherwise I wouldn't tell you about it. It seems a little bit stupid to say that, but anyways, you know, to say. This is halacha, a certain posuk wrote, this is a case of halacha realizing that it can't handle all situations. Something bizarre like that, which, you know, was taken out of context. What is interesting, though, and what I will note, is what is perhaps the most classic case of halacha ve'ein morin kain, even though it doesn't use that language, or it may actually in some places use that language, which relates to this week's parsha?
Oh, kanayim pogin
bo. A bo'al aram is kanayim pogin bo. You come to Bez and you ask them, what's the halacha? You know, should I kill them? No. But that's halacha. So, you know, that's a case also where, you know, why is it that we don't paskin that way? I mean, we can see, you know, the pitfalls that would arise if we would from a practical perspective. And that shouldn't be discounted. It's not always just halacha that comes into play in these types of decisions, but rather, again, it's a broader sort of what will be the consequences of me paskening this way and paskening this way publicly.
Well, the example you gave is more emes, because if he came to Beis Din to ask, it's not considered a kanai.
Okay, fair, but right. He came before. He says, "I know I'm a kanai. It's not right now, but lu yitzur in the future, right? Someone were to be bol and aramis in front of me. What should I do? You know, it's whatever it is. Okay. Anyways, but that's those are sort of the cases to whom this applies. And we see there is a range of opinions within the poskim, and different poskim paskin actually in different ways in these regards. But what that will depend on is the question of, you know, how do we interpret, A, the cases of the Gemara with the Talmidim asking, number one, and number two, how concerned are we about this pitfall? Are we only concerned to the degree that we don't want to be putting it on Pashkevilim and Mea Sha'arim? Or are we concerned to the degree that even when an individual student comes and asks us what to do, we shouldn't rule that way to them?
Okay, but what I'm trying to say is, how can you apply Ein Morim Kain when the different rabbis have different opinions that the Rambam Ein Morim Kain means you can't sharpen anything for the Rambam. Mm-hmm. And when you deal with some others of the Poskim, mm-hmm. it's you can't show them stone, but they can do it on eights. It's not...
What's the problem?
I don't think everyone across the board said that you can't sharpen mm-hmm. like the Rambam. You have different degrees. So how can you have something that's Ein Morim Kain, which each Posek would have a different halacha of what's Ein Morim Kain? Like, what is it that you're not showing?
I'm a little bit confused by the question. Are you asking why the poskim disagree that some will say Ein Morim Kain even for wood and some will say Ein Morim Kain for stone?
I'm saying, what's your question? How can you apply that to us simple people when each one would have a different level of Ein Morim Kain because of their different...
That's why you require psak. And okay. For that psak, we have the Shulchan Aruch, we have the Ramah, tells us what's okay and what's going to fall into the category of Halacha Ein Morim Kain. But in Hanami, it's hard to say, you know, that this is the particular reason why Ein Morim Kain in any particular scenario. It is hard to point to that.
How many cases are there of Ein Morim Kain?
Again, the ones where it actually literally says in the Gemara, but we said
also,
six.
Also
but when you count in these other things, you know, and the question of how broad you're going to be with that, you can really get tons and tons and tons.
Tons?
Tons.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
So this concept of saying, yes, that's halacha, but we don't want...
I'll give an example I came across recently. The Yerushalmi's version of Dam Besulim. Right? Where I think the Bavli quotes it actually, right? No, I think it is a Yerushalmi that all of these things are lahalacha velo lemaase. Right? You see phrases like that a lot. And it's not because I know this, that I'm such a big bucky, it's just I happened to come across this recently. It comes up a lot, really.
Halacha velo lemaase is the opposite, no?
No, what? It's halacha vein morin kain.
Halacha vein maya.
Halacha vein morin kain is the same thing as saying halacha velo lemaase.
Oh, lo lemaase. Okay, I
right?
got it.
Not halacha lemaase.
I said lo lemaase. In other words,
right.
I was putting the opposite way.
Yes.
Right? I was saying,
you're saying lemaase velo lehalacha.
Right.
No, that's not what we're talking about. That's a separate issue. But anyways, to move on. So what we will do at this point is actually, I think there's something that has to be addressed, which is the following question. And I'm going to jump around a little bit just for the sake of time, because I also still need to daven Mariv with, again, the day that I had today. So, I do want to finish somewhat decently on time. So I'm going to pose a question to you guys, which is the following. If you can't paskin it to your Talmidim, who can you paskin it to? How is this ever going to spread? How can you write this in Sfarim that are intended for big Talmidei Chachamim? How can I be telling you this halacha vein morin kain? According to those opinions that say, listen, you read the Gemara, we're talking about Abaye and Rava talking to each other, they can't tell one another that it's halacha vein morin kain. I mean, how can you possibly justify any of this? And for that, the first link that I sent in the email today, which I didn't expect anybody to read after what I heard last time about emails, but... And I also said it was optional. I wasn't expecting anybody to read it. There was an interesting discussion of somebody asked, can you give me examples of halacha ve'in morin kain? And someone said, I could, but... right? So there is that sort of quandary. And you're like, well, what's going on with this halacha ve'in morin kain? If it's truly ve'in morin kain, where do we get off in terms of what we're doing now? Where does the Gemara get off by writing it? Where does Shulchan Aruch get off by writing it? And, you know, is there a limit? Should we actually be imposing standards on who can be learning about this when? Should I say, you know, we should try to knock this off the Google search results? Because it's halacha v'ein morin kain. We don't want someone to Google, can I sharpen my knife on Yontif? And Google says yes. Like, what? How exactly do we deal with this? So that's a question that I would pose to you guys, and to see sort of what you would come up with in terms of how this would actually work. Dead silence. I'm going to grab a drink in the dead silence, if you don't mind. Thank you.
Well, we had learned previously regarding the concept of turning off a light that a gadol actually did do it on Yontif.
Many gadolim.
Okay, yes. And the only reason why they stopped, and they did it in front of other people, and the only reason why they stopped is because then other people spoke about it, about him doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's misconstrued, and that's the only reason. So the concept, at least in their mind, was mm-hmm. you could do it in front of Talmidim that should have known better,
mm-hmm.
but nonetheless they realized it was a mistake, because
yeah.
when it got out, then it became a problem.
Why did it become a problem, though, when it got out?
Because people who did not know the halakha just said, oh, you could turn lights on and off, and therefore that's why it was stopped. So the Ein Mor in Kain is, it depends what, it's exera. So the question is,
right.
will it cause these effects?
So what you're describing, if I just, one second,
sure.
What you're describing is a middle-of-the-road cheetah that says, we don't want you to tell this to regular people, but to Talmidim you can tell it.
But
that's what you're describing.
But in this, in
that
the,
will not address in Morin to Talmidim.
Okay, so the problem, no, the problem that you've mentioned is what happens is then Talmidim say it to other people who are not Talmidim,
okay.
and then it spreads.
Okay,
right.
So that,
so
I think, is a fair xera. So
I was going to say a thing. In the Google world,
right, yep.
there's nothing that's private anymore. You know what I mean? There's no one-to-one.
Right,
you know?
Right. Even in the Gemara, right? Chavar the Chavar Islay, Chavar the Chavar, Chavar Islay.
But there is, I know, I read some of them. Right.
Right, so that's what we know that in general these things spread. So how we would say, and Gerard would say, that it's really an extended gzera, not because you can't tell it to the Talmidim. In a Hanami, if it would just be the Talmidim knowing, it would be a Halbatsara. And we wouldn't worry too much about that. But you're worried it's going to get out to, again, the real Amiharet, and that's what we're concerned with. That's a fair read. I hear that. One distinction that should be made is the following, which you can see it in the Piskei Tshuvos in 11, is one of the things that he brings up there, and maybe we'll read through that afterwards, which is, there's a difference between learning and paskening. And I think this is something that people have a hard time accepting, and it's something that I've seen, you know, in unfortunately, in my day and age. There are some places where you're learning halacha, and really what you're learning is halacha l'maisa.
Mm-hmm.
But in many, many cases, you're discussing sfaras. We're in the Beit Hashir here. We're learning a Gemara. There is a gap, though, between our learning and halacha l'maisa. When someone comes forward for a psak, is different than what you discussed with them in the Beis Medrash. And I think according to this stringent shita, which says you can never paskin, it's referring only to the act of paskining. The Gemara doesn't mind writing it, because the Gemara is not expecting you to open up the Gemara and say, hey, halacha zakar b'Yehuda, done. It writes halacha v'Ein Mor, because this is how you teach people. We're learning about the truth of Torah. The truth of Torah is that we learn, and we paskin according to Rabbi Yehuda. Practically speaking, though, is another matter. Right? So I think this distinction between learning and paskining
mm-hmm.
is something that's very, very important towards understanding that shita that we saw, you know, most notably in the El Yoraba from the Rajba, that's based on our Gemara, say that even to Talmidim shouldn't paskin this way. Obviously, the Talmidim can know that such a svar exists. You have to teach them Torah, you know, Torah, he v'lomod anotzrichim. But at the end of the day, in terms of a practical psak, you should really steer away from it, which moves towards, you know, people saying that maybe there should even be certain chumras for a person's self. And there are those that have said that about this case of halacha v'Ein Mor, that maybe it's better to be machmir where you can. Not because we're worried about other people, but because it's true that we paskin this way, maybe that's not the best way to act and paskin for others. There are other things to talk about, too. There's, you know, two more comments that I wanted to make, and then the practical case. One was the Taz, which I don't know if we'll have the opportunity to go through. He also goes through that Gemara in Daf Chaf Beis, again, to extinguish the flame ifnei davar acher, to make sure your house doesn't get all smoky. And he basically explains that Gemara to be saying that the psak was not outright usser. You have to read through the Taz, and again, I wish we had the time for this, but I don't think we do. Which is to say that the Taz's version is a more watered down of what does it mean, lehoros kain. The Taz says, well, wink, wink, it's Usser, basically. He uses that to explain the Gemara in Daf Chaf Beis. Rather than saying it's an outright Isser, he says there, the Gemara seems to say, you know, if we followed the Rabbanan, then, you know, whatever, right? Or they asked him again, what if my house is going to fill up with smoke? Can I extinguish this thing? He says, you could extinguish it in another house. Like, it's sort of these roundabout, sort of beating around the bush ways that you don't want to say it's Usser. So, you know, people might realize this, right? And with that, let's jump to the Piskei Tshuvos and Yod Aleph. Okay? V'kemet sh'aser lahoros. Aser la'adam hayodei alach al'takan makshir ochal nefesh v'pnei achirim. He begins with something else, which we talked about already. We can jump down here. V'lifnei talmid ha'chamim ha'ayodim ha'alach. Let's jump to there. Three lines down, fifth word on the line. But it says this Piskei Tshuvos and Yod Aleph. If the Talmid Chacham actually know the halacha, it's permitted at all, you know, in any way. As we mentioned, there are those opinions that would say it's best to even be machan for yourself. That would follow from the, again, difference between teaching Torah and paskening. Umutar lilamed hadin derech limud velo derech hora'a kitshuva l'sheela. He brings this chiluk. Kishem sheyitiru lichtov adin besfarim, just like it's mutter to write it down in sfarim. Aval haba lishol. So now what happens when someone comes to ask you? He says, Ein omrim lo, you shouldn't say, halacha ve'ein morin kein, elam ramzin lo, shekenu ve'ein omrim lo iser barur. So you could say, well, it's not really 100% aser. That's what halacha ve'ein morin kein means, right? Vim ein yachal ermos lo yomer lo she'aser lasos kein. If, however, there's no way, you know, to get this message across, basically, you should err on the side of Isser, because that's the way that the Psak works. Ve'yesh ha-mistapkim, and he says there's even a question, imutar la'anos ayin shulchan aruch simen ploni, o b'sefer ploni, v'sham yira ha-shekasov shel ha-halacha v'ein morim kein. The question is, can you say, look in shulchan aruch, where it says this outright? And these are sort of the questions that he's dealing with, but again, to what extent are we not more? Does not more mean you tell everybody Usser outright, or there's some leeway in that, in letting this be known? Even outside of the framework of Talmud Torah, and that is a good question that we won't be able to resolve. I would also say that looking in Yud, and as we saw earlier, and in other places as well, there are some cases that the Mishnah did not include because of a halacha of Ein Morin Kein type of idea, right? The Lo Ratzu Chachamim Legalosa. The rabbis didn't want to, you know. And this would be true of books which people are going to be reading and using as halacha. And it is a little bit surprising to me that such language would be so widespread in places like the Rambam, which were intended for the Hamonam, in places like the Rif, maybe, which were intended for the Hamonam, although the Rif doesn't have it here. I don't know if the Rif had it in other places, they didn't look, but certainly in Shulchan Aruch, we see phraseology like this. You see the Ramah write this. It's somewhat questionable. You know, these are places where people are looking for halacha lemaisa. And it could be that we'll expect only that, you know, the smarter people who are able to read, or
people will misinterpret Ein Morin Kein as meaning, it's okay, you still can do it. Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm just saying
this. No, I'm just saying, is that what the concept is?
They'll just see, the halacha is,
it's not allowed, but yes. Maybe a shasat chag. Is this a shasat chag? I don't know.
So I'm going to.
So what's the fair motion?
So that's what we were saying in terms of halacha of Ein Morin Kein. You know, it's a slippery slope in a lot of these situations. And it's surprising to me that in so many public forums we have this written down as halacha, and it does follow this, but Ein Morin Kein. And if that's something that's just reserved for the elite, you know, there should be questions as to how accessible we're making this information. If someone is publishing an English halacha book that's meant for the house, I don't know if they should be writing, the halacha truthfully follows Rabbi Yehuda, but we don't paskin this way publicly. I mean, that's pretty close to a public psak. And there, even according to the most makel shitas, you're going to have this concern. I did want to talk about one particular case about sterilizing baby bottles on Yantif in the Be'er Moshe, in Yod Beis. Be'er Moshe, as some of you may know, is one of my all-time favorite poskim. Yes, he is, you know, in terms of figures go, I believe he's the biggest kanai of the 20th century that I'm aware of. And I know who lived in the 20th century.
Is
Rav Moshe Stern.
Stern, right.
He's the brother of the Betzel HaChachma.
Right.
He was a big, big, big posek. He was originally from Debrecen, and right. He came over to New York, and there are so many wonderful things that I admire about him, and so many things that make me raise my eyebrows. But maybe I'll tell you about some of his chuvos after this year, not on the recording. I gave a chabura this year, actually, in his most interesting chuvos for the university students, which I couldn't record by any stretch. making reference to YU, in his chuvos is not necessarily something that would end up, going over well on YU Torah.
I've seen that.
But anyways, we won't get into that now. That's for a different time. Either way, he has the question about, can you sterilize baby bottles on Yontif? Because that's really a case of Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. In order for the baby to be able to drink their formula, milk, whatever it is, we tend to say that the bottle should be sterilized in hot water, which you're going to have to heat up hot water in order to clean this baby bottle. So can you sterilize bottles on Yontif? And one of the things he addresses is, V'im tikshalo ein lahatir machshirei ochel nefesh yefshir lasos me'erev Yontif, dihalacha v'ein morin kein l'rabim. So if you're going to say, well, it's true, we couldn't sterilize it yesterday. It has to be sterilized now, right? But maybe we should say that halacha is halacha, and that's true, that's halacha, but ein morin kein, asks the Be'er Moshe. Yesh lomar derak l'rabim ein morin ava liyachin abalish morin kein. He actually paskins, like the number of poskim that we saw that says it's only a public sort of psak. And whatever, and he says also, and he goes down, and he says, right, of Marsham Mekel, if you jump down to the middle line, almost to the end of Marsham is Mekel, who says that you can only be to a Yachid, Bidin Machshir Ochel Nefesh, he Efshir La'asosan B'mitzvah Derabim. He says, if it's a mitzvah Derabim, though, if there's a circumstance in which it will be helpful to Paskin this way, and is necessary, then you should have, and Nidon Didan, Gamkein B'chlal Zeh, who Detinok Shehur Galichshos, Ach Virak Mikelim Shenis Bashlu Kol Yom Vayom. He says, if the child only ever drinks from sterilized bottles, he says, and also you have a concern that, the kid is going to get sick if it's not sterilized properly. He says, it's going to even be mutter to, paskin publicly in this way for this circumstance, because it's very necessary for people to sterilize their bottles on Yontif. And he's willing to say, because it's a mitzvah derabim, in his opinion, or at the very least a health risk, that one should definitely be able to sterilize, at least in terms of this concern. Okay, so that's an interesting practical application of our case of Halacha v'in Morin Kein, where you have Machshirei Ochel Nefesh that could not have been done before Yontif, and yet he says, because of the circumstances, he would allow this to even be written publicly. He wouldn't say that about sharpening a knife, necessarily, but he would say that about this. And that's a very interesting case. The Igros Moshe, the last one, actually has a very interesting point, which resonated very much with me. And I copied this out from the Pitka Chus. I didn't even look it up in the Igros Moshe. I didn't have time. But he writes the following. Basically what he says, we need to look at what the Ramah is saying here. The Ramah is talking about only in a case where something happened to break on Yontif, but it could have just as easily broken on Erev Yontif. Meaning, I could have easily repaired it on Erev Yontif, and it must have been sitting around for a while, like my spit which broke. And it just happened to be that today it, died in Yontif, but it's shayach to say that you could have done it yesterday, from an onlooker's perspective. It says, however, let's say there's something that every day goes bad that you need to do again and again, which I would think, like the case of sterilizing baby bottles, right? We know that you can't deal with yesterday's sterilization, you want to sterilize it before you give the baby the bottle. So he says there, everybody looking at it will know that it's from today. So there's actually not going to be a ruling of Halacha v'en Morin Kein in that case. And this is tremendous, tremendously large applications. I can reference you back to the Pesach Chuvos there for, the amount of, leniency that he'd be willing to take this to in terms of the Halacha v'en Morin Kein aspect.
Like,
but
for example,
So there's, one case he was talking about. He wanted to be Mekel, if I remember correctly, the most extreme thing that I saw, the Pisket Juvos based on this, in a footnote, was talking about if people see your fire is on Yontif, everyone will realize that it must have happened today, because no idiot would leave on their fire from yesterday, and let's say their stove was left on, no idiot would leave on their stove, on a high heat over the entire Yontif, if it was available to be fixed yesterday, and they just wanted to push it off to today. That's what he wanted to be Mekel on, and therefore it said any time that it's Mukhrach from the way it's being fixed, that it definitely didn't happen yesterday, it's not this Gzera of Ein Morin Kein is not going to apply. Okay, whatever, it has stuff to do with opening packages, right? If says, for example, if opening the package in advance of Yontif, not Shabbos, Yontif, will cause the stuff inside to get stale, right, then you also don't have it because there's a reason to think why you'd be opening it. Lots of very widespread kulos that would come out of this. Not that they're so makel on their own, but anyways, those are sort of the cases that come up. At the end of the day, again, there's a very wide range of saying this. However, we do see when it comes to practical cases where there's some need, that poskim do tend to be on the makel side of the spectrum in terms of worrying what people will think and telling them you can do this, but you can't do that, and that's okay, especially if you have some reason to permit it. And I'll take a couple of questions, and then I will run out. Shkoyach, thank you for a very wonderful year to all of you here, to all of you, or at least half a year, I should say, to all of you that were listening. I doubt there's anybody that's not from this year that listens online, but in case there accidentally once was, I thank you too. Hope you enjoy your 3-4 weeks of vacation. I'm happy to have you bother me at any point in time with anything from anything we've learned this year or otherwise. Always a pleasure to talk Torah with you.